Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Her Radio, starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peake, on Radio MD.
So, Michelle, whoa, yes. Here's a study for you.
Yeah.
This is a recent study. These were Australian researchers. They looked at a survey response in the journal Menopause of 1,500 women between the ages of 40 to 65, found that 17% of the women were having moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms. That's code for night sweats and hot flashes. 18% reported moderate to severe sexual symptoms. However, most were not receiving any kind of treatment. Only 11% used kind of hormonal replacement therapy. Only 1% were using another type of therapy that didn't involve hormones. Okay, what's up with that? We have our go-to expert, Dr. Phil Sorrell, to be able to help us understand, what does this study really mean? Dr. Sorrell, welcome to Her Radio once again. So, why are so few women being treated? What did this study tell us?
Well, first of all, Pam and Michelle, thanks for having me back to talk about my favorite subject, and that is to draw attention to the millions of women who are hurting, literally hurting, because they are not using hormone replacement at the time of menopause. Dr. Susan Davis is the author of the paper you're referring to. She works in Melbourne, Australia, and I've actually worked with her team in the past, and I think the data is very reliable, and it's the same almost everywhere else. As she points out, the 10 or 11% using hormones is true in Australia, in Canada, in the UK, and in the United States. A recent paper from Sweden pointed out that among young women, women in their 40s, who'd had a hysterectomy and their ovaries removed, less than 10% were replacing the missing estrogen.
Amazing.
So when she points this out, she is talking about a worldwide problem, and the question is, why is it a problem? And the reason it's a problem is the confusion about hormone therapies. The women who are hurting the most are the women who have no uterus and who would ordinarily be replacing their missing estrogen. For these women, the risk from taking estrogen is almost none. They don't have to worry about cancer of the uterus because they don't have a uterus. In terms of cancer of the breast, the women taking estrogen only have a reduced risk of cancer of the breast, not an increased risk.
Exactly.
But in the last 3 months alone, actually in the last 2 months alone, there's been paper after paper after paper showing the continuing beneficial effects of estrogen. Let me give you two examples that I think your listeners will be interested in. First, a recent paper from University of California in San Francisco reviewing the entire literature about Alzheimer's disease.
Oh,
and
yes.
It indicates very clearly,
mm-hmm.
that of all the ways we have available to us, they call it grade A evidence, there are only four medical exposures that reduce the risk of developing Alzheimer's, and estrogen is one of them.
Yep.
That's
Isn't
very
that crazy?
Important. The Utah study is our sort of gold standard because they followed the women in Utah right from their 50s into their 80s. And if the women used estrogen replacement for 10 years or more, they reduced the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease by over 80%. And no one seems to know or understand this.
Well, so why is it? But why is that, Phil? This is ridiculous. Those kinds of numbers. You're a physician. I'm a physician. You know, we read this stuff all day long. Why isn't this more prevalent? What's going on out there?
Well, I mean, let me be a little more specific about it, because it's so dramatic in the Utah study. And this is reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that among 1,000 women who didn't replace the missing estrogen, by the time they were in their 80s, 240 had developed Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Among the women who did replace the missing estrogen, the number was 40.
Really?
One sixth as many. Now, that's the estrogen side. The other paper that's kind of dramatic that I think is worth noting came out at the American Academy of Dermatology meeting just in July, and that was the impact of estrogen replacement on protecting the skin from aging, protecting collagen, and protecting the skin from breaking down. So we have study after study after study. Now, why aren't women listening, or why aren't their doctors or their other health care providers saying, wait a minute, we have a mountain of evidence now for the protective effects of estrogen. It will reduce your symptoms. It will prevent disease. The most important, of course, is preventing heart attacks through the use of estrogen. And it will reduce your mortality. Remember, in the past, the three of us have talked about the paper I wrote on how many thousands of women now have died because they didn't use estrogen. The estimate of that paper was almost 50,000. Bringing it up to date, the estimate is now almost 90,000 are dead because they didn't use estrogen. I think the reason is that two different studies were published. One study, major studies, one was a study of women with a uterus who received a drug called Prempro, and the other was a study of women without a uterus who received a hormone treatment called Premarin. The women who had a uterus who received the Prempro had many dire effects, and that hit the news, and you know how people love bad news. I love the IBM ad that's on right now with the tennis for the tennis
for the Open.
Which is saying we weren't hacked today, and the little kid at the end who says my father's company wasn't hacked today. In other words, good news is so unusual that they've made I think the best ad I've seen on television in a long time. It really is good news. Women's lives can be saved, and they don't have to suffer in the way that Susan Davis is saying the Australian women are suffering. I'm collaborating with a team from a business school in Melbourne, and we're studying the impact of all these women who aren't using estrogen and how it's affecting their ability to go to work each day. And they're just not going to work.
Right, they're not going.
Wow. They're disabled. They're impaired.
That's right.
We are
actually comparing that data, the Australian data, with data from the United States.
That's cool. That's great.
So there's a confusion about the bad effects of one treatment, which I absolutely believe, and I would never use the drug. And then there are the very beneficial effects of estrogen only. For women who have a uterus, we do have new and better treatments than was available in the past. And so it's not a dismal outlook for women who have a uterus, but it's certainly a very optimistic outlook for women who have no uterus who just replace the missing estrogen.
All right. Well, you know, at the bottom line here, our wonderful go-to expert, Dr. Phil Sorrell, who literally is a founder of the Yale Menopause Program, is one of the greatest researchers and names in this field of menopause and perimenopause, is helping us all understand as women that we have options, that we need to have a conversation with our primary care providers and our OBGYNs to be able to understand that, yes, hormonal replacement therapy is an option and a safe option. Please listen up. You heard that from us, Dr. Sorrell. We cannot begin to thank you enough for being on her radio and help us clarify this. And I hope the women out there know it.
On September 25th at Yale, we're having an entire day symposium devoted to the use of estrogen for primary prevention.
All right, you heard it from us. All right, and then get on Radio MD to hear more about this. Dr. Sorrell, thanks. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
Like us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Stay well.